As Jim just mentioned, we're going to study Romans chapter 13 tonight. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Call this lesson this evening, Salvation Comes Soon. The Apostle Paul was a writer to the brethren at Rome, and he wrote these words. And that knowing the time, there is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Tonight, what if you knew that eternity would start next week? What if you knew that you would be judged tomorrow? What if we had known that? What would our reaction be? What would your reaction be to, at this hour? Well, we cannot know these things, as Jim mentioned in his prayer, that we do not know when these events will happen, but we can know that our life on this earth is brief. You turn to the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 14. James comments on this, on life. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life, my life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. When we die, we will go into eternity. Our salvation one day is coming soon. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, the apostle said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Night is representative of death. We're nearer to the grave at this hour than we was yesterday. And we're also, the day is at hand. The day of reckoning is coming for you, for me. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. We have to answer for individually to Jesus Christ. But we know one thing. Our salvation is coming soon. Now, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Now, it says, not past sins. Now, our past sins have been washed away. We're not delivered from past sins. Because Paul said there were some people in that church in Rome that were the servants of sin, but now they're not. They've been obedient to the faith. He says, but God be thanked. God's always pleased when we turn away from sin and embrace the gospel and be obedient to the gospel. He said that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Salvation then from past sins is called justification of sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul would write, therefore being justified, how about Paul? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All of us want peace. Peace is a precious commodity in the world because we do not like to have strife and turmoil. We want peace in our lives. We want peace that we can produce fruit for God. There is salvation coming soon. Jesus is coming soon, as Jim just led us in that song. The salvation of Romans chapter 13 and verse 12 shows us this salvation is to be revealed to us. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Peter would write about the salvation being revealed. He said, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." Ready. The salvation's ready now. He says, but it's going to be revealed in the last time. The salvation will be revealed to you, it will be revealed to me on God's timetable. This salvation of Romans chapter 13 and verse 12 talks about glorification. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, the writer would say, if children and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and so be that we suffer with Him, we shall be also glorified together. We are members of the church. Christ is the head of the church. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with His Son, Jesus. But one day, all this suffering, all this pain which we experience in this life will be past. When Jesus comes back, we will be glorified with Him. And in being glorified with Him, we know the salvation will be evident. The salvation will be a reality. So in view of the closeness of our salvation, we should be be obedient to the cross. Be obedient to the one who died on the cross. Be obedient to Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to come and judge us about the way we live. First of all, I'd like to submit unto you that when this salvation comes, we must be awake and we must be alert. We go back to verse 11 of Romans 13. Paul said it's high time to awake out of sleep. Now, he's not talking about physical sleep. He's talking about spiritual sleep. He's talking about we should cast off the works of darkness. We shouldn't participate in the works of darkness. Sinful life is often described in the Bible as the works of darkness. Followers of Satan follow the works of darkness. And therefore, they're asleep. They're asleep as far as the souls are concerned. One who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. He does not know where he's going. John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus emphasize this fact. There were some people whom Jesus was talking to on that occasion. Then said Jesus unto them, that's the people, yet a little while is the light with you. He's the light. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Jesus said, you cannot know where you're going if you walk in the darkness. You don't have any direction. You don't have any desire to have any direction. Therefore, you walk in the darkness. And that darkness is sin. The darkness represents disobedience to God. God's people are to have no fellowship with the works of darkness. We're not to participate with what the world participates in. If you'll look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He said, don't participate, reprove them. Tell them, according to the Word of God, this is not right. This is not right for me, it's not right for you, and try to save other people's souls. He said, therefore, he said, be awake. He said, be awake. Christianity is not merely the casting off of the works of darkness. That's part of it, but it's not merely the all of it. There's also a positive side of Christianity. And it's the view of the coming salvation. We should awake our sleep. Or religious indifference. Religious indifference. Characteristics of those that awake are watchfulness with sobriety. making sure of what's going on all around you. He said, because you wake out of your religious indifference. You wake out of your religious apathy toward God. And then you do that, then you can be able to be watchful and to be sober. You won't be drunk in sin. You won't be in apathy toward God. You'll be watching. You'll be watching. You'll be awake. So therefore, Paul told the brethren in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 4 through 6. He said, and ye brethren are not in darkness that that day should be overtake you as a thief. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the coming of Jesus. He's talking about the day he's coming soon. He said, you're all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's what God wants us to do. Watch. Watch. Pay attention. Be sober. Be alert. He said, if you walk in sin, then you are of the night. You have darkness. But he doesn't want us to be in darkness. He wants us to be in light. He wants us to not let the coming of Jesus to overtake us as a thief. But Jesus said his coming will be as a thief. Not knows. He doesn't know when he's coming. Only the Father knows. And so therefore we have to be ready. We have to be watchful. We have to be sober. Therefore we need to put on the armor of light. Look at verse 12 of our text. The armor of light. Romans 13:12. What are the characteristics of the armor of light? Faith, love, hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul said, but let us who are the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation, the expectation of salvation. The expectation is you're going to be saved. Well, we have to put on the breastplate of faith and love. And those are characteristics that we have to put on. Therefore, that produces light. How do you get light from the Word of God? Study. Get knowledge. Knowledge of the Word. Second place, and I submit unto you, we must be daylight disciples. Verse 13 of our text of Romans chapter 13, it said, let us walk honestly as in the day. We must walk becomingly as a Christian. Christianity is like a walk in our lives. The course is clearly marked how we should walk, where we should walk. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8, Isaiah wrote these words many years before Jesus walked this earth, and he said, and a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Jesus talked about the way too in Matthew 7:13-14. When he would say, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many be which go in thereat. Because straight is a gate and narrow is a way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We have a choice. Isaiah calls the way of holiness. Jesus says there are two ways in which we can travel or are traveling tonight. The narrow way which leads to life. The broad way which leads to destruction. The narrow way is a progressive way. It's a progressive way because God wants us to continue walking on that way. But there are also negatives that we need to look at tonight. People who live in sinful behavior, God is very displeased with them. They live in sinful behavior with their revelings, wild parties, drunkenness, don't care about how they live. Also, people who live immoral lives and they live in chambering. Now, the word chambering in Bynes' Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words means illicit sexual intercourse. We have people today who live in wantonness or unbridled lust. Do anything they want, can, to get what they want. But there's also involved in the negative strife and jealousy. Because if people have a personal difference with somebody else, then that individual needs to go and reconcile his or herself to that individual, because is that issue going to be out there when Jesus comes? Because how important is it in light of salvation coming soon? You got to get rid of it. If an individual jealous of somebody because he or she has something they want or who they are in life, they need to resolve that issue, because how important in view of salvation that is soon coming, because that individual won't be ready for the coming of Jesus. In the third place, then we must choose the Lord instead of lust, instead of this world. Go back, now we go down to Romans 13:14. It says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." The flesh, the world, has the power to overcome us, to control us. The flesh, therefore, can destroy us physically, emotionally, and even our souls. We may mind the flames of the flesh, as Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 says. Those who mind the things of the flesh do not mind the things of the Spirit. Sin may live in one's body, but just because you have sin in your life tonight doesn't mean you have to keep it there. You can get rid of it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul tells us how to get rid of it. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in the lust thereof." He said, don't let it reign. You can get rid of it. You can get rid of it by repenting of sins in your life, by confessing the name of Jesus before this assembly of rededication of your life back unto Him. Look at the word lust. Lust is evil desire. This is how sin progresses. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. James gives us how sin progresses and destroys the soul. He said, "But every man is tempted." The one you're tempted. "When he's drawn away of his own lust." He chooses to do that. And enticed. He's enticed. He succumbs to that lust. He said, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." Number four. "And sin," ultimately, he says, "when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Eternal death. Five steps in that progression. So therefore, he said, this is how you can lose your soul. But we must put on the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour. All of us in this assembly, most of us, have put Him on in baptism. Galatians 3 and verse 27, Apostle said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You put on Christ. But after we put on Christ in baptism, when we think about that event in our lives, we must continue to put Him on in our lives. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 of our text, he said, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." No, we must make Christ the Lord of our life. Jesus has to be the Lord and the controller and the ruler of our lives. The word Lord means ruler. He must rule our lives. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, Paul said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things on earth, in earth and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that the Lord that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We make Jesus the Lord of our lives, obey His Heavenly Father in this life, because we know at the end of time, everybody who's ever lived upon the earth and is currently living when Jesus comes the Bible says that every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why not take the opportunity at this hour to make that commitment unto Jesus Christ tonight? Make that commitment that you know that He is going to be, He's the Lord of your life. You know that when you walk out this door, He is the Lord of your life. He's the ruler of your life. He's the one that controls your life. And you know, also have the fact that salvation is coming soon. Because you know that life on the earth is short. And you know, every day we're making a rush toward eternity. We may be right now much closer to eternity than we can ever imagine. The words of the song, "Oh, can we say we are ready," seems appropriate to the end of this lesson. You never obeyed the gospel of Christ? Consider your salvation tonight. Your salvation is going to come soon. We don't know at what point, but we know it's coming. And you have the opportunity. God in heaven has given you this opportunity to be obedient to His Son in faith. By repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Christ before this assembly, and be baptized for remission of your sins. Or, as a child of God, you have sins, and you know that these sins need to be confessed publicly. You need to come forward. You need to make that known unto God that your salvation, when Jesus comes, will be one of commitment unto Him. And if you need to respond, Jim leads us in this invitation song. We encourage you to do so right now as together we stand and sing.